Have you ever said to someone, are you out of your mind? Can we have a witness, church? Have you said that to someone? Have you ever said to someone, are you crazy? Are you mad? What have you done? Have you said that before, church? Or maybe you're in a situation where you utterly said that straightforward in the face of someone because of what's happening right in front of you? You know, almost a year ago, my family and I went to Hawaii. And one of Elaine's bucket lists is to jump out from the plane and skydive. And they've been pushing me hard. Daddy, daddy, mommy does not, she feared heights. We want you to jump out with us. And said, no way, I'm not yet out of my mind. I still want to come back to Bethel and Plank Chapel alive. See, the gospel story begins with this massive crowd that kept following Jesus. Hundreds of people would like to hear him because they are now sensing that this Galilean man was able to heal the sick with her supernatural power and abilities, that he was able to meet the needs of those who are crying out. And according to several commentaries, these are not just hundreds, but they came almost more than thousands of people. They've been hearing all around of this man by the name of Jesus who is transforming people's lives and the kind of supernatural power and extraordinary teachings. And they were so overwhelmed, the crowds were so overwhelming that Jesus and disciples could not even have find time to eat. Have you noticed that, church? And this seems to be the last straw that broke the camel's back, as the saying goes. And so his family tried to seize him. The word there is to take control of him, which in Greek means seize. When somebody is being seized, what does that mean? You're trying to take over, right? To pull him out from that very dangerous, you know, he might be overwhelmed by those crowds, which he already been overwhelmed with those crowds, you know, coming from all different directions, trying to meet Jesus. And finally, they said these words on verse 21. Jesus said to Jesus' family said to him, he's out of his mind. When somebody said that to you, let's pause this for a while. When somebody said to you, you're out of your mind, what do you think he wants to tell you? You're doing some crazy things, right? The Greek word here, out of your mind, is the word existemi, which is used here for losing one's mind. It actually means being displaced, being outside, being astonished, amazed. In other words, you are mad. That's how straightforward it is. His family, this is his family, trying to say to Jesus, you are out of your mind. What do they think? Why are they arriving in that conclusion that Jesus was out of his mind? First, they probably could not understand who Jesus was. See, they cannot understand that Jesus was the Messiah, because the only thing they knew about this Jesus was he was the son of an ordinary family. He was a son of unearthly parents by the name of Mary and Joseph. An ordinary couple with ordinary lives in an ordinary, humble beginnings. To Jesus' own family, Jesus describing himself as a God, as the Messiah, the Son of God, were signs of someone who had lost his senses. Come think of it for a second. If somebody will claim that to say right in front of you and you will see that, you will also say the same words. Are you out of your mind? See, church, when we follow Jesus, we too can be misunderstood, right? When we follow Jesus, some of us may think that we are out of our mind. You know, the praying, the worshiping, obeying God's word, our sense of sacrificial giving, responding to God's invitation to be part of this movement called Christianity, saying no to sin, loving our enemies, even though they are undeserving of love, forgiving someone that is unforgivable. All these things sounds crazy to other people. And when we start talking about Jesus being God, dying on a cross for everyone's sins, being resurrected on the third day, and coming again through the work of the Holy Spirit, and on and on and on, this sounds like we are out of our mind for some people. See, church, some people can misunderstand us. And we can also misunderstand Jesus. For all the work that he had done and for all the work that he continued to do in each of our lives. That's why even his own family is labeling him that he was out of his mind. But not only that they misunderstood who Jesus was, they could not even handle the truth that Jesus was dangerous. Those who challenge the status quo are dangerous. Do we believe in that, church? They threatened to upset everything. And Jesus was dangerous in the eyes of the Pharisees, in the eyes of these quote-unquote legal experts, according to the Common English Bible version, and even to his own families. In fact, the Pharisees here cannot handle the truth about Jesus, that they even accuse him that he was possessed by what? He was possessed by Satan. Can you imagine that? The legal expert, the one who is the enforcer of the law, accusing Jesus and labeling him to be possessed by the devil. Actually, they want to discredit Jesus. Because in their eyes, he was dangerous. He is trying to stir the pot. He was trying to instigate a new kind of a movement that is out of this world. A new kind of movement that is turning things upside down and going against the currents of what the society dictates. Isn't that we as Christians today are facing similar situation? That if we challenge the way things are or the way things are being done, then we are going to be labeled as dangerous Christians. And in some parts of the world, it may cost us our life, not just our livelihood, but even our lives. According to Christianity Today magazine, dated January of 2023, more than 5,600 Christians were killed for their faith in 2022. More than 2,100 churches were attacked or closed. Many of them were burned. More than 124,000 Christians were forcibly displaced from their homes because of their faith, and almost 15,000 became refugees. End of quote. And we can say, well, Pastor, we live in this nation that you can freely express your faith, your Christian faith. But that was the reality in the two-thirds part of the world, particularly in sub-Saharan desert of Africa. In India, in Pakistan, churches are being persecuted. Christians are being persecuted. Here in America, there's what you call subtle persecution. Do we believe in that, church? You know, years and years ago, I was invited to a public elementary school in Iowa. This was my first time to step in a public elementary school after arriving from the Philippines. I was probably in my mid-20s, and I was being hosted by a Methodist family. They said, you know, we would like for you to come. I was not yet a pastor at that time. And then I was just unassumingly went in, excited, and then I begin to kind of invite the kids. I mean, this is in a public elementary school. I said, okay, why not we come together? Let's hold hands together. These are first, second graders. Let's hold hands together. Let's pray to Jesus. When I said that word, pray to Jesus, that teacher snapped me at my back, said, we don't do that here. And I was just dumbfounded and shocked because I was not aware about the kind of separation between church and state here in the U.S. And so, you know, I invite us all just to think how the subtleties of Christianity being that we even here in the U.S. are not able to have that freedom anymore to offer and to share Christ in the public arena, in the public sphere, whether it's schools, whether it's in government buildings and other places. See, people cannot understand who Jesus was. They cannot handle the truth that he was dangerous. But also they cannot accept that Jesus does not fit their categories. Jesus is so totally what the religious authorities don't expect. They have absolutely no idea what to make of him. He does not fit their categories. And there are times that we are like the Pharisees. When someone doesn't fit our categories, we typically label them as abnormal or deviant or even crazy. We assume that what we know, what we have experienced, hold to be true is normal, natural, and even God-ordained. And that becomes the standard by which we measure or judge the thoughts and actions of others. Have we been there, church? Jesus' entire ministry so far has been about announcing both a new vision of God and a new day of living with God. And at the heart of that vision and way is the conviction that this is a God whose love extends to all. That God desires the health and healing and restoration of all of God's creation. That God stands both with us, for us, and among us. That this is the same God determined to love and redeem us no matter what the cost is. And this is the same God who chooses to be accessible for the lost, for the last, and for the least. They just simply could not accept the fact that Jesus does not fit their categories. And that is why Jesus set himself against all the powers that would rob humanity and creation of the abundant life that God intends. And that is not what the Pharisees or even his own very biological family would expect. And finally, they were threatened by Jesus who came to turn everything upside down. The moment Jesus stepped into this world, he came not to keep the status quo, but rather to turn everything upside down to start this whole new revolutionary movement. A kind of a lifestyle that goes against the very grains of this society. It is a countercultural community church. A community of people willing to swim upstream and go against the dictates of what this world says. A community of people who will live by a different set of standards, a different kinds of standard, who would believe that the last would be the first and the first would be the last, that the greatest of all is to be a servant of all, a kind of a lifestyle who blessed those who are mourned, those who are hungry, and those who are thirsty. And again, the message of Jesus, this very same message of the gospel, is a message that threatens the powers that be. It is a message that transforms our lives and make us uncomfortable with our own Christianity. So, here's the challenge for us, church. In this third Sunday after Pentecost, are we willing to follow Jesus? If you are going to follow Jesus and be the church today, the gospel is challenging us not just to know about Jesus, but to know Him. Amen? If we are willing to follow Jesus and be in relationship with Him, the question for us, are we willing to be bold and be courageous in witnessing our Christian faith, even to the point of risking our lives to follow a dangerous Jesus? Are we willing to name the systemic sins in our world, in our communities, and to live a lifestyle that challenges the status quo, to turn things upside down, and be willing to be labeled that we are out of our minds? Amen? We are willing to be labeled that we are mad and crazy for Jesus. Are we willing to be that follower that Christ called us to be? My challenge for us this week, as you go out, whether you're in a grocery, whether you are in a restaurant, I invite you to be countercultural. Just have the courage and witness to share your transforming life in Christ to others, so that one by one, we can be able to make a difference and be able to courageously offer Jesus to others, even to the point of being labeled to be out of our mind. Can we do that? May we do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. There are times that we can be labeled to be out of our mind. There are times that we can be labeled as mad and crazy. Yet if we're doing this in the name of Christ, then so be it. For you yourself been labeled, even by your own family, even by your kin. Help us to understand more, not just of you, who you are, but to really have a relationship with you. May we acknowledge you as a dangerous Jesus who does not fit in any categories. And may we be willing to come alongside with you in turning this world upside down for the sake of your gospel. Give us the courage and boldness to share our faith in a world that is so much broken and hopeless. And may we do so now and every day of our lives. In the name of Christ, who is our Savior, and all God's people said, Amen.